to them for our Thanksgiving decorations. You know, I had a visit with somebody in the hospital one time, and this person had a fair measure of uncertainty, had a lot of uncertainty actually in their life, questions that they weren't too sure even how to ask, and the answers seemed further away than even the questions. And the person said to me, "Pastor George, I'm just getting it that I really don't have any control over what's going on in my life right now, and I have to hand it over. I have to give it away to God." Believe me, I was not going to say to this individual, "Well, that's absolutely the wrong thing to do," because it was clearly the right thing to do. It truly was the right thing. And yet, that right thing that that individual did on that occasion is, can I say it just in honesty for myself, and I dare say it's similar like this for you, that right thing is often the hardest thing for us to do. Until that uncertainty or whatever it is, the questions are so strong and so vehement that they almost overwhelm us. It's hard. Because I think, you know, from almost the earliest of ages, we're taught that you need to be in control. You need to take hold of things. You need to figure things out. You have to fix things. You need to make stuff happen. You have to get things done. You're the one in charge. If you don't do it, who else is? We have that kind of inbred into us. And taking the step of actually taking our hands off, instead of saying, "I'm in charge," is really quite difficult. Being able to say, "Lord, I'm willing to trust you with all the details of my life. I'm going to work hard at everything that's in front of me. I'm going to do my utmost to follow in your way and to not take charge of things and to go in your way." I don't know about you, but that I just find that to be one of the most challenging and difficult things to do. And yet, we all get it, I think, is that this whole thing about Jesus, it's all about surrender. It's all about trust. I was at a conference this past Thursday. It was a family ministries conference, and it was held in Shane Church in Stony Creek. And at one point in the meeting, it was early in the morning, I had to pair off with another individual, and I had to tell this woman, this is what we were instructed to do, I had to tell her about a time, the time of big surrender in my life. We were given a paradigm that we had to work by, and I had to share with her about a moment of big surrender. And that the question that I had to answer was with this paradigm of God and sin and Christ and life, I had to share. I got 5 minutes to tell this person about that moment of surrender. And they listened to me. They were to listen deeply and actively, and then they were to speak back. They had 2 minutes that they had to speak back to me what they heard me saying about what that moment of big surrender was in my life. And then we reversed roles. Later in the meeting, we had to pair off again. And this time I had 5 minutes to tell her about real time, like Thursday morning time, right? Like going on in my life right now, this week, that kind of time, some of the little surrenders that I am engaged in doing. And this time I had to talk about those daily, ongoing, regular ways that I entrust, I yield, I surrender, I offer my life back to God. I say, "Lord, here's the situations of my life. I'm not in charge. You're in charge. Take hold of this. Change me and use me in it." Now, you know, I had a name tag on. It said, George Robertson, Knox Presbyterian Church Minister. And I had a tough time. I had a tough time just being honest and sharing with this person. I've been thinking about it since, and I've realized that I'm really not all that good at that kind of stuff. I desperately need a model. I need, you know, I want to call the example of someone to show me how to actively, regularly, daily surrender my life to God. I don't need somebody who's going to say, "George, you must surrender your life to God. You have to surrender your life to God. You ought to surrender your life to God. You better surrender your life to God. I don't need any of that. What I need most of all is someone who will truly show me, by the example of their life, what it means to make the surrender of your life to God. In our scripture lesson this morning, Luke read it for us. Jesus is speaking to the disciples, 14:27. We could have it up on the screen maybe. I'm just putting on the spot there, Tori, but if you want to put the scripture up, it's got verse 27. Jesus, right at the beginning, Jesus says to them, you're all going to fall away. I mean, there's some serious stuff coming up, and you're not up for it. You're not going to be able to make it. You don't have the answers. You can't fix it. You can't deal with it. It's going to be beyond you. You're not going to be able to handle it. Now, Peter, who's ever the, how would I put it, he's the I'm in charge, take control kind of guy. What Peter says to this, just keep going there into verse 29, Peter says, Lord, hey, listen, doesn't matter what happens, you can count on me. You really can. I mean, I will not fall away. I will not fail you in the time of trial. Really, Peter was I'm going to call him the epitome of the unsurrendered kind of person. He didn't get it. He's saying to Jesus, like, you don't have to worry. Doesn't matter what comes, I can handle, I can deal with it. I won't falter, I won't fail, I won't fall away. You can count on me. Go down to verse 34 now, will you, Tori, for me, please? That so contrasts with Jesus. Jesus began to be deeply grieved and distressed, agitated, it says there. And he speaks to them, and he tells them what's going on. I'm grieved, even to death. And, you know, you contrast this. Here's Peter on the one hand. I can do it. I mean, count on me. I won't fall. I won't fail. I'll be there when you need me. And Jesus, I can't do it. Jesus, of all people, this is beyond my control. I can't handle this. Father, I am not into your plan A in any way whatsoever. I need your plan B. I need something more because I can't deal with what I'm facing. And Jesus wasn't just contemplating the physical suffering and death that lay ahead for him. He was grappling in those moments with something more than what was just physical death. He was grappling with the enormity, the magnitude of the spiritual death that he was going to have to suffer and take into himself as he would absorb into his life all of the sin. Think of it now. Not just this pastor's sin, but all of the sin represented in this room, in the world, in all of time, all of creation, the world itself, in rebellion against God, taking it into himself. You know, when I feel like I need a break, I need to get away from some of the stuff going on, I need some escape kind of thing to go on in my life, I don't know how to tell you this, not, but I pick up a crime or a terrorism novel. Let me see. Seemed to be the strangest thing in the world to do, to read about stuff like that, but that's what I do. This past week, I finished reading I guess you'd call it a terrorism-type novel. It was about an analyst, a terrorism analyst, and he was the best of the best. He really was. Edgar Roy was his name. Don't call your children. Well, anyway. But, strange name. But Edgar Roy, he was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And he could process all of the information that was being fed into all of the security computers and all the rest. He could filter it out and hone in on where the actual threat was. But after a while of doing this, he went into overload. And his mind stopped. He hit a wall. And there was no more that he could process. And I think that's what's happening to Jesus. And he's hit a wall. And there's no more that he can really process and handle as he contemplates what exactly lies ahead for him. I need a way out. That's what he's saying. Give me a way out. This is too much, Father. It's got to be something different than what's in front of me and staring at me. And, you know, I find it really interesting that Jesus was not in any way hesitant to ask God for that. To specifically say, I need plan B. I need something different than this. Verse 36, if we can go to it, please, Tori. Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. You have to remove this for me. Remove this cup from me. There's the struggle. There's the question back to God. Give me something different. But there's also this act of surrender. Yet, not what I want, but what you want. I mean, that's incredible to me. I don't see in that this sort of what I'd call this pious, placid kind of que sera, sera, whatever will be, this fatalism kind of approach to life. This is actually, in all the weakness of that moment, an enormous kind of strength to be able to be honest and just admit, God, I can't handle it, but your love. And into your hands I submit myself, I surrender myself, not what I want, but what you want. You know, when I hear the word, if I was to walk up to Patrick right now and say, Patrick, surrender. I don't know what kind of image the word surrender would create for you, but you know, for me it would be, you know, you'd put your hands up and you'd feel like there was some guy standing in front of you with a gun. That's my crime terrorism novels again. And you know, you're gonna wave the white flag and say, I give up. You shook your head no, but you should have said, I give up, right? Friends, God is not some kind of cosmic police chief. It's not what God is like. God is love. Abba, Father. And Jesus knew that he could entrust himself even for the absolute worst that was lying ahead for him. Why did he know that? He couldn't see this yet. But he knew his Abba was good. Can I ask you just to go back to verse 28, Tori? People need to see this. Verse 28 of the lesson. But after I am raised up, Jesus knew that in submitting his life to the Father, even to this not just physical death, but spiritual death, there was going to be resurrection. It was everything in his mind and his spirit that cried out, no. But Abba had made the promise. The Father had made the commitment. God had spoken his word. I will provide the way. You know, following Jesus always starts with an act of big surrender. It's that first step of yielding and surrendering your life to God. Next Sunday at the 11 o'clock service, we're going to have the baptism for our friend Doug here. And then a week following, we'll have the baptism at this service of Kylie, Cody and Hillary's daughter. But next Sunday with Doug's baptism, he's going to be making that kind of profession of faith. The profession of faith that he's made that big surrender in his life, yielding his life up to God, to Jesus as his Savior and as his Lord. And we're going to baptize in 2 weeks Kylie towards that, on the strength of on the commitment of her parents professing that they've made that act of big surrender. And we baptize her towards that day when she will come by faith to take that step of big surrender. My question this morning is a simple one, really. Has that happened for you? You know, this table speaks of love. Have you surrendered and submitted yourself with open hands and an open heart to the invitation of God, who wants to wrap his arms around you and lead you and hold you and take you? Have you come to God asking for the forgiveness of your sins and placing your trust in Jesus as the one who's paid the penalty, who forgives you, who gives you the gift of new life, who makes you a new creation, and who's promised you that one day you're going to live, you're going to delight, you're going to relish being in God's new heaven and new earth. But you know, after that act of big surrender, there comes those acts of little surrender. And they're the ongoing daily things. And filled with a gratitude to God, filled with, on this Thanksgiving weekend of all weekends, filled with this measure of gratitude to God, we simply, in every step of life, yield it up to God, offer it back to God. It's like the song, "All to Jesus I surrender." I surrender all to doing it God's way. It's Jesus who gives us the example. And what an example it is. Jesus is the one who shows us how to surrender. We have a master. As we come to the table, I encourage you to just dwell on this. We have a master and a Lord who is also our mentor. And we follow Jesus, who knew in great weakness that there would be an after. The promise of Abba is there will always be an after. After you have gone through it, whatever it is, there will be a provision. I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm the Lord your provider. There will be no resurrection for you apart from going through death. Now, it's not the same death that Jesus had. Well, one day physical death is going to come for sure. But it's the death today, those acts of little surrender, the death to self, the death to doing it my way, the death to doing it by my plan and my figuring, the death to that need to be in control, the death to having to be first, and saying to Jesus, I offer it all up. I give it all up. I'll work as hard as it's possible for me by your help to work according to your plan for my life. I'll do that, but it's your plan. And that way of thanks-filled surrender to God and God's plan for our lives will always offer us the confidence and indeed the comfort that even in walking through the struggle that seems to have not only no answer, we don't even know the questions, that God is there. And there will be resurrection. Here's the threefold promise of God. It's like a one cord with three strands that holds fast and sure. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of Abba, of God our Father, and the fellowship, the friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. If you have made that act of big surrender, giving your life, the life that God's given you, back to the Lord, to God, to live by His plan and His will and His way, this table's for you. The arms of God are open to you to come because God wants to give you the help and the strength to keep on making those acts of little surrender day by day. This is your table, the Lord's table for you. We're going to stand and affirm our faith now in God, the God who calls us to that act of big surrender, but to those acts of little ongoing surrender. Let's stand together. This is our affirmation of faith, and their words that are taken from the Scripture, from Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. We'll say this together as one in unison. Christ Jesus, though He was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted Him and gave Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess to the glory of God, Jesus Christ is Lord. Please be seated. With that declaration of faith and trust, surrender that Jesus Christ is Lord, let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. We have no hesitancy to say it, Lord God. You're good. You're the Holy One. You're the good one. You're the God of love. You're the triune God, and we come humbly and gladly to you this morning and give ourselves to your measureless generosity shown to us. Dearest Lord Jesus, what more could we possibly desire for ourselves than for your grace to be made real in our lives in these moments as we come to eat and to drink? It's by your grace that we've been saved, forgiven of our sin. It's by your grace that we're being changed day by day into your likeness. It's by your grace that one day we're going to enjoy the beauty and the wonder, the glory of life in your new heaven and new earth. We praise you. We thank you this Thanksgiving Sunday for all your saving acts of love to us, your all-sufficient kindness. Dearest God, our Heavenly Father, our Abba, what more could we possibly need today than the assurance, the richness, the fullness of your supply for our lives, your love? You've promised us as your people that we'll never again be separated from your lavish affection for us. Nothing can separate us from your love for us in Christ Jesus. And it's because of the work of Jesus that you will never love us more than you do right this very moment. And you'll never love us less than you do right this very moment. We celebrate today your wondrous, beautiful provisions, your unlimited acts of love, power, and grace shown to us in your Son. And dear Holy Spirit, what more could we want for today than to have that privilege of fellowship, friendship, really, to know what it means to walk with you as the living God. We thank you that you're the one who introduces us into the joy of the common love of Father, Son, and Spirit, the triune God. You welcome us this morning to this. It may look bare to us, Lord God, but it really is a feast of love and of joy. It's a delight for us, Lord God. These things are your gifts to us to energize us, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, you're the one who does that. So right now we pray, come and fill us with all the good things that will give us the measure of new life our God has for us. Help us to humbly embrace all there is at this table, all you're holding out actively and truly for us right now. We pray, Jesus, your grace. We pray, Abba Father, your love. And we pray, Holy Spirit, your friendship will be with us as we eat and drink. Be with us indeed as we leave here throughout this day and weekend and in the week to come, ever and always, we pray. And we ask these things in the trustworthy and triumphant name of our Savior and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.